Kent Police are recruiting. This is not your standard job.
Unit 2 required to attempt crime in progress.
This is not your average 9-to-5.
Unit 2 on scene. Vehicle check, please.
Standby control.
We don't subscribe to the daily grind.
Mail making off. Assistance required.
Stop, please!
This is the job that counts.
You're under arrest.
Suspect in custody.
A profession with real career opportunities. Become a Kent Police officer and join an outstanding force. Apply now at kent.police.uk.
I'm pleased to be joined on the podcast by Katie Kempen, who is the Chief Executive of the Independent Custody Visitors Association. Been Chief Executive since 2015. She leads on reforms in governance, structure and mission, developing the vision of the ICVA. She's provided a national voice for schemes and has influenced national policy on police custody. Katie joined the organisation from a senior management role working on the victim's perspective of the criminal justice system, and Katie has worked within policing for over a decade for both police authorities and, I believe, police and crime commissioners as well. So you've seen everything in a period of change for policing governance and then going on to lead something else. So tell me a little bit more about your background within policing and criminal justice.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for having me on. My background really goes back to studying, where I studied politics and philosophy, and I think politics is probably where my heart is and the background to all of this work. I left university, and actually, no, whilst at university, I worked for local government. So I worked in various councils around the South East, including Reading, Slough, South Oxfordshire. And it was there that I really saw the difference that they made to a community. So some of the areas that I worked in really quite deprived, and actually where I live now, it does have some reasonably deprived areas. And you can see the impact that working with a community, building community cohesion and resilience actually makes and on people's quality of life, and makes an area a nice place to be. It makes people happier to get up in the morning. So I've really enjoyed working in local politics to start with. And then having worked in community engagement and community safety, I moved to Surrey Police Authority about 11 years ago. And when I was there, I was involved in, again, community engagement, communications, but I also managed my first ICV scheme. So in Surrey, we have a fantastic group of volunteers. Many of them are still there. And I got to run the scheme and go into custody with them, go and speak to detainees and see actually primarily what a difference they make to a detainee when they enter the cell, when somebody realises that ICVs are there to see what they're feeling, how their well-being is, to make sure that they are being granted their rights and entitlements, can be quite moving. Sometimes you can see some people who are very stressed and obviously at a crisis point in their life actually calm down, take a breath. It seems to make the custody experience a bit more tolerable for them. And we could see it making a difference in improving custody overall. So from working community engagement and ICV schemes, we then had a whole raft of legislation on policing and crime, including the move from police authorities to police and crime commissioners. So my role in Surrey at that time was to lead the project that changed Surrey Police Authority to Surrey OPCC. Okay. And there were an awful lot of things that had to be done behind the scenes. So we had to transfer all of our staff from one employer to another, sort out things like pensions, estates, and also run an election, which was a very new thing in policing. It was something I was quite comfortable with from local government.
Something I've only ever done from the political side of things. I can't begin to imagine what it was like from the administrative side.
It's always interesting. I enjoy it. I've always worked in counts as well. I've always really enjoyed an election. It's nice to be able to show what you do. It's good to have the exercise that forces you to really condense down what you do and what value you bring. So I really enjoy meeting candidates, and I feel actually I love politics and I love working within politics. And one of the best things about that is working with people who want to make a difference to the community.
It's a bug that gets you, doesn't it?
It's lovely. I'm studying at the moment. I'm studying for an MBA, which is brilliant, but it brings me together with people from a much more private sector background. And I think there is a noticeable difference in ethos sometimes as well. So it's not always about being able to demonstrate that you will personally get something out of the job you're doing. There's much more of a, I think, an ethos of working together for the greater good and making the right decision for public services. So I love it. I love working in elections. It can be disruptive of it as well. And it's obviously always sad when you see somebody you've enjoyed working with move on for whatever reason. But I enjoy it. And actually, it was interesting having moved from local government and moved when I saw changes of administrations relatively frequently, to see that culture change come into policing was quite interesting. So where the chief constable and police authority relationship morphed into the PCC and chief constable relationship, where we were setting much more of the priorities for policing, and it was a lot more hands-on, I think, was an interesting transition to go through, and one I enjoyed, actually.
Yeah, and obviously there was a lot of focus in and around Surrey during the transition from police to police authority. Not going to pick on any characters, but obviously you had a change in leadership, a change of chief constable. Obviously, there's now a new police and crime commissioner there as well. So you really did get to see sort of probably some of the best, maybe some of the worst of what can happen sometimes in political change. And I don't expect you to comment on that bit, because I'm not going to, as I promised you earlier, I'm not going to draw you into those political discussions. But I mean,
high stakes, people care, you know.
Exactly. And I think that's the important point, and I try to emphasise always about politics, is that you very, very, very rarely meet anybody working in this field, whether as a candidate or in public policy or in the civil service, who are doing it for the wrong reasons. It's you know, there's this often this common misconception of corruption because something doesn't go people's way or they're in it for the money. And actually, I don't ever tend to find that is really the case.
It's a hard job as well. I mean, the number of late meetings that people end up working with, I mean, it's not at all uncommon to see elected representatives working more than 12-hour days regularly. In my experience, I agree with you. It's everybody working towards the common good I'd say more than 99% of the time. I enjoy the environment as well. I enjoy working around Westminster. I love the Houses of Parliament. I think it's got a bit of magic to it. It's it's great. It's a good job.
And after being in the OPCC in Surrey, what did you move on to subsequently?
Well, moving from the project management into a substantive role, we then took on victim services. So I had a bit of a national role for a while. The Ministry of Justice used to commission victim support and some specialist services across the UK, and then they changed that. So there was quite a big reform where it moved from centrally commissioned services to PCCs commissioning all victim services to help them cope and recover. So three PCCs worked on that: Alan Michael, who's still in South Wales, John Dwyer, who was Cheshire, and then we worked with Dorothy Gregson and my PCC, who was Kevin Hurley at the time, all kind of came together. We worked with the MOJ to negotiate a timetable to negotiate conditions and to agree how this responsibility was going to be devolved. So I did a lot of the policy work that needed to go on behind the scenes there, which again was great. I really enjoyed that. That was lots of late meetings at the Ministry of Justice trying to push things through quite quickly. But PCCs took on that responsibility in a very short timetable. So alongside that, I worked with Sussex and Thames Valley, where we developed a framework that all PCCs could use to continue to access victim support quite quickly. And we went through that tendering process, which was an intense period. We also commissioned a lot of specialist services at the same time. But it's been really good to see how victim services have developed and the additional investment in things like domestic abuse services, sexual violence services that just weren't there kind of however long, I think that was 2013. So before that, they just weren't there. There's been massive additional investment in those areas. So that was intense, but really rewarding. And then at that point, I was one of, because PCCs were still relatively new, I was one of a few officers who'd worked across different PCCs offices. And when the advert came up for ICFA, it was an opportunity to work again with ICV schemes. Yeah. There are a lot of common themes. So when you're looking at victim services, we were looking at integrated pathways, vulnerability. Actually, an awful lot of people who end up in custody are also victims of crime and need a little bit of help getting out of that cycle. Yeah. So there was a lot of overlap. It looked like a brilliant job. I applied and I was fortunate enough to get it.
And here we are now,
indeed,
doing a fantastic job. And we'll talk about some of the successes that you and your team and the individual schemes have had. There are so many of them. I was going through lots of different things on your blog about some of the impact that ICVs have at a local level. But for those who are listening to this and maybe don't know about the ICV scheme, what is it? What can it do? What can it deliver? What for the uninitiated, how would you describe independent custody visiting schemes?
Sure. Well, in England and Wales, every police and crime commissioner or police authority for the city runs an independent custody visiting scheme. We have similar ones in Northern Ireland and Scotland. And this is a local volunteer scheme where local residents make regular unannounced visits to police custody. Once they're in there, they need to be allowed into the custody suite right away and they will interview detainees. So they pop along into the cells, introduce themselves, let the detainee know that they're nothing to do with the police, that they're local volunteers, and they have a chat about how the detainee feels they've been treated, and they have specific questions. So they ask whether detainees have been given their rights, whether they've had access to entitlements, so things like showers and exercise and food, and just generally check on their well-being. They'll also have a little bit of a look around custody to check on the conditions. So there's massive variations across the UK. Some suites are brand new, very shiny, clean, big, and others are much older, more traditional kind of custody suites. So they make sure everything's working. And then they report back. So ICVs don't just report back on things that need to improve, although they will make recommendations where they see them. They also note and praise any particularly good work, good behaviour that they see, which is quite common as well.
Sure.
They then report back to your scheme manager, who will pull together trends, issues, and report them to you as PCC to hold your chief constable to account. And that governance, I think, actually works. It's quite unusual. So there are lots of bodies who are quite similar to us. It's unusual to be able to have such a direct link to somebody who can hold the chief constable or their equivalent to account. And we tend to find that it's actually a hugely effective way of governing the scheme.
Yeah. And in terms of the visits as they take place, do they have to give notice before they attend?
Nope, they can turn up any time, day or night, and we encourage schemes not to turn up at predictable times. So they should be coming at different times of day and different days of the week every week. We tend to see ICVs pop in about once a week, but it can be more frequently for busier suites, and we get the odd suite where it'd be less frequent when they're not really used very commonly. But they can turn up whenever they like and have to be let in right away.
And how do you manage the compliance of police officers and staff in those circumstances if they're turning up unannounced to do these visits? Do you have any particular problems with that, or do you generally tend to find that the police themselves are accommodating and you don't have to name and shame if you don't want to?
I don't think there'll be any naming and shaming. You do occasionally get blips where sometimes if custody suites are low on staff, it can take a while for ICVs to be let in. Most commonly when we have those blips and ICVs aren't let in right away, it does tend to indicate that there aren't enough staff in place to facilitate the visits. That's because they need to let somebody go right away. So ICVs are always escorted by a detention officer. And if that person isn't free, then obviously they can't come and get them. But by and large, it's a well-established scheme. Police know that they need to come and let their volunteers in right away. If they don't, it will tend to get escalated to the scheme manager, to the PCC, quite quickly, because it's really important that we maintain that transparency. It's really important that it's that custody is transparent, but also that it's seen to be transparent, and the ICVs are there as eyes and ears of the public. We really pride ourselves on Pelian principles in British policing. It's a high pressure, often hidden area of policing, and so ICVs need to be let in right away. And they do, you know, 90% of the time they are, and when they aren't, it tends to be resolved quite quickly.
And you mentioned obviously there and a bit earlier on about some of the reasons why we have these schemes, because obviously custody is a very complex place. Most people will think of custody as a place where criminals go and they're detained while the police arrest them and the crime is being investigated. But actually it's a lot more to that. You mentioned obviously vulnerability. Obviously mental health is a key issue in police custody as well. When it comes to volunteers and finding people to do these roles, what is it that you're looking for in particular? Do you look for people with maybe who have got experience of working in those kind of settings themselves, or what are you looking for in an independent custody visitor, given all of the complex things that they will have to look at?
I think we want to get a good representation of the community. So it's really important that the public have confidence in the ICVs who go in. So it's great to welcome people from a range of different backgrounds and a range of different experiences. It is helpful to have people who maybe have some experience of key skills like auditing, who may be used to process or public sector or detention, but that's not essential. What we need are people who bring fresh eyes and a public perspective into that environment. It's really important that we don't have any conflict of interest as well, so that's probably the one thing that we are very specific about. Sure. We obviously, again, if we expect policing to be transparent, we need to be transparent. So we always say, you know, if there's any risk of any perceived conflict of interest, it's best not to go for this particular role. But other than that, we welcome anybody and everybody. We've just had a lovely blog from some ICVs who are blogging as part of Black History Month to talk about what they bring to the role. We tend to have a range of ages going into police custody and a range of different backgrounds. So the more diverse, the kind of better.
You mentioned the Black History Month blog there. You've got a number of, as I said earlier on, some examples of good things and good practice which is coming out of local schemes, and I think one of the things I think that the custody visitors need to be commended on is some of the national campaigns that you've run, which have been tremendously successful, because you've managed to get the government to change the rules about something, haven't you? And that's often not very easy to do. Do you want to tell us about that campaign around sanitary products?
Yeah, that was a great campaign, and our ICVs and scheme managers have been brilliant, actually. We had an incident, a really sad incident, where there were two detainees that a scheme found who were at high risk of self-harm, and in order to manage that, they'd been placed into paper suits. So these are suits that are designed so that detainees cannot effectively hang themselves or ligature themselves on them. So it's there to keep them safe. But unfortunately, obviously, it's not particularly dignified if you are menstruating and you're popped in a paper suit. So we were kind of asked for advice on this and how to manage the situation. And what it uncovered were a range of problems around menstruation in custody. I think, as you'd expect, it was a few years back that we were really looking into this, and there was still quite a big taboo. The free periods protests hadn't really taken hold then. And it was a difficult area. So we found detainees weren't asking for products when they needed them, and they weren't always being offered. And that just meant that some often quite vulnerable young detainees just needed products. They weren't accessing them, and they were making do, and it was really unpleasant. We also found that there weren't always good ranges of stock in place. We had a bit of a one-size-fits-all approach to feminine hygiene packs, we called them, that wasn't particularly good or effective at times, although there was variation. And there were other issues. So we have CCTVs in cells, the toilet area is actually kind of pixelated out on any screen, so you can use toilets in privacy, but detainees didn't always realise that. And that was one of the things that that ICVs bring this fresh perspective. So if you're a member of staff who's working in custody day in, day out, you kind of get used to what you can see, you know what's on the monitors and what's blacked out, whereas detainees don't and ICVs don't. So they could bring that fresh perspective. And we also wanted to make sure that people who did need to use menstrual products could access hand washing facilities. And this again is where your variation in estate comes in, because the lovely new suites will have sinks in the cell that you can access. Old ones, you might need to walk down a corridor, use a sink that's got low water pressure, and it's all a bit trickier and takes a lot longer to do. So we've worked with police on this, and they actually made big strides in and of themselves, but they really were looking for additional guidance. So they weren't always clear on what they could ask, who should ask it, when it should be asked, whether it was more dignified to ask detainees or wait for them to request products. And they weren't sure particularly on what was safe stock. So they really didn't want anybody to come to any harm in custody. So we did a lot of work with them, but we also did a big campaign. So we worked with the media. We wrote a letter to the Home Secretary. We got some legal advice, just asking that they place some changes. It was then Amber Rudd. So asking that she changed Postcode C to bring in some clarification and also to make sure that everybody was up to the same standard. She did. She agreed to it right away, actually, which was fantastic. I think we wrote on a Friday, and on the Monday there was Home Department questions, and she welcomed the report and agreed to the changes.
That's incredible.
The interesting bit was then.
For a government department not known for timeliness, that's an incredible turnaround in achievement there.
It was amazing.
Were you taking them on the journey with you, or was it just it was literally that quick?
It was that quick. I mean, so we had spoken, so we never want to do things kind of completely out of the blue. Yeah. We'd been speaking to civil servants as we went along, and we'd spoken to a number of elected representatives as well. So we didn't want a big shock. We were very clear to our civil servants, particularly what we would be asking for. Mm. So there was some groundwork in, but even so, to write on a Friday, I think, and to go in on Monday, it was a good day. The Home Department questions were on my birthday. I went to the Commons. I had no idea if they were going to ask the question. We had somebody we knew wanted to ask a question, but we had no idea whether they'd get selected in the bobbing. And somebody did, and it was fantastic. It was a real kind of gobsmacked moment of, oh, wow. This is fast, you know, and I think everybody wanted to do a good job. It wasn't like we were meeting resistance because people thought, oh no, we shouldn't be giving detainees appropriate menstrual care. They just needed that guidance and support and additional work to get to the place where we could deliver it.
That's incredible, and particularly as you turned it round so quickly as well. And obviously, there are now women in police custody for one reason or another who are being treated with a lot more dignity now than they were. And that's as a result of you, your organisation and your scheme, volunteers and managers.
Thank you. Yeah, and we it's fantastic. And we have to give a lot of credit to the ICVs who still kind of day in, day out are checking.
Yeah.
Constantly speaking, and I know, you know, it's not easy for all ICVs, you know, it can be a difficult conversation, but they're asking every single female detainee, they're checking on stocks day in, day out, and making sure things are working smoothly. And the police as well have worked really hard on this, and we've seen just massive improvement. It's been heartwarming. It's been great.
Congratulations, that's absolutely tremendous. And have there been any other examples of some of the work that you've done nationally which has led to change? I know obviously you've recently introduced the awards for ICV schemes and things like that. Is there anything else that you'd want to promote as good practice to people who are listening, things that you've achieved?
Yeah, I think we try to. So it's a funny old thing, because some changes can feel quite small but make a big difference to detainees. So things like making sure there are a range of food options available. I know that your schemes worked particularly hard on that recently, making sure you've got enough halal food in, making sure you've got food for diabetic detainees. We kind of share and promote good practice in those seemingly smaller areas, but the ones that make a tangible difference for detainees in the cell. Beyond that, I mean, we've worked on things that sound are quite technical and behind the scenes, but there's been a real move in policing from bringing everybody into detention and keeping them in custody cells to voluntary interviews. Mm-hmm. And we've been a bit concerned about whether voluntary interviews have the right oversight and whether ICVs can make sure that vulnerable detainees in those instances are getting their rights and entitlements. So we've worked with the NPCC and we've got some written guidance on that now, which clarifies the situation. I think there is still room for improvement, but we've taken great strides there. And we've also got changes to PACE there, although that was much more of a group effort and not led by ICFA. And as you say, we started our quality assurance framework, so our quality awards, about a year and a half ago. And schemes were asking us to help describe what a good scheme looked like, what an excellent scheme looked like, what an outstanding scheme looked like. So we brought in various levels that schemes could apply for, and that went from code compliant to silver to gold to platinum. And they, in doing that, they had to kind of demonstrate that they were pushing up quality standards within their scheme, so reaching out to the community, promoting what they did, reporting on key issues, and getting a response from the chief constable and the police force. And so as a result of that, we've seen much more press coverage of ICVs, which is it's really important because we want to reassure the public that these visits are taking place and that actually police custody in Britain is a safe place to be, and that you can rely on quality policing there. But also things like making sure your governance processes are in place and all of the things that sound a bit back office-y and boring, but they're really crucial to making sure that if an issue is noticed, that it's taken up, pursued and resolved.
That sounds great. There's so much going on there. It's incredible that you've got the organisation behind you delivering all those things. Who's involved in ICFA now? You've got a board with different representatives on it?
Yes. So we have two members of staff. That's Sherry, our chief operating officer, and I. And between us, we kind of divvy up the work and coordinate it. But we're also really lucky to have a board of directors and a national expert forum. So our national expert forum, which your office until very recently was on, brings together a representative from every region. And we share our work. We do joint projects. We conduct different bits and pieces together. And then we have a board of directors who conduct the kind of strategic, legal and fiscal business of ICFA. So we're really lucky to have two PCCs on that board, and some scheme managers, and we have some external directors. So Nick Hardwick, an ex-chief inspector of prisons, has joined our board recently. A communications expert, Lucy McKay, who does a lot of work on inquests, has joined as well. So although we've only got two members of staff, we really work really closely with our board of directors and with our national expert forum to make sure that we make as bigger impact as possible and try and reach out to as many partnerships as possible.
Fantastic. Before I draw this to a close and ask where people can find out more information, looking to the future, are there anything in particular that you think needs to be addressed or things that you're working on to make things even better?
Yeah, at the moment we are, we've got one area that we're looking at, which is building on dignity in police detention. So we're looking at how high-risk detainees are kind of managed in terms of observations or other tools, and we'll be working with the NHS, with the NPCC, and with lots of different groups, so the inspectorates, schemes and police officers, to see if we can find the best way possible to manage that situation. But then on our other bit of big work, our internal piece of work, is a pilot to look at changing potentially the methodology of custody visiting.
Sure.
So at the moment, our ICVs are absolutely brilliant. They have a chat with all detainees. They look at their custody records, but that only gives them a snapshot of what's going on in police custody. So they only see who's there at that point, and they also don't see how those cases are resolved. So what the pilot is really looking at is whether we can expand that a bit more. And some of our schemes, so it's six schemes now, are looking at custody records in their entirety and going through them systematically, addressing lots of different issues within them. And they're also extending the visits. So instead of talking to ICVs, they'll also be observing key elements of custody, so the booking in, booking out, doing checks for detainees, and seeing whether there's anything that they can pick up on there that, which they can't otherwise pick up on. And what we're hoping that does is kind of plug a gap a little bit. So when the inspectorates will come and do a really big deep dive into custody, but that's only about once every 6 years. So we're hoping this expands the reach of ICVs and uncovers more issues moving forward. We're about kind of six weeks into that pilot now, so it's too early to say whether it's going to work or not, but there are some green shoots and I feel quite optimistic about it. So watch the space.
Fantastic. And which space should be watching? Where can people find out more information about your organisation?
You can find us on www.icva.org.uk. We also have accounts on Twitter, so that's at Custody Visiting and at Project ICFA. And you can also find us on Instagram at custody_visiting. So we're on all the social media apart from Facebook and our website.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And many congratulations to you and your organisation on some really fantastic achievements that you've delivered so far. We look forward to even more.
Thank you ever so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.